Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Welcome to the River Church. For the last 4 minutes, I had to pull myself together because I was a blubbery mess. So God moves in some very interesting timings, but it is a blessing to see you. Oh, that's like, if it's for anything, give it up for Jesus. But man, you can't script that. We're preaching about family, and then God moves in family. So I just do want to be able to say, like, if you're here and you want to take your next steps in obedience, whether that be getting connected into a growth community or baptism, whatever it might be, let us know. Honestly, we love just being able to see people take their next steps. So Pastor Noble and I were just talking, and I was like, the two guys on staff who are least likely to cry are literally like hugging and wiping our tears away. We're like, God is so good. But it is just a blessing to see the realness of the church. But if you're here with us in person or you're joining us online, we'd love to just be able to help connect with you. So again, we've already kind of gone through those props, but it is just awesome to see what God is doing around here. But for us today, let's pray and let's see what God has for us this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. Lord, you're good in the mountaintops. Lord, you're good in the valleys. Lord, thank you so much for your presence. Lord, your love. Thank you that you've always just been with us, Lord. You've never left us or forsaken us, Lord. But Lord, today, as we continue our series on family, Lord, as we look at the topic of honoring and obeying parents, Lord, I pray that you stir in all of us, Lord. I pray today doesn't just become a behavior modification sermon, Lord. Lord, I pray that today the gospel is heard, Lord, that the truth of your love and your protection is known, Lord, to all of us. But Jesus, all of us are able to take steps towards you. Lord, for those families who are in the auditorium or watching us online right now, Lord, pray you be with them. Lord, I might not know the struggles or the problems, Lord, but you do. So Lord, I pray that in this moment, Lord, just your healing grace, Lord, your hand of provision just can be on them, Lord. And everybody leaves here drawing closer to you. So Christ, we love you. And Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful name. Amen. So I love Family Month. And one of the things that I've learned so much in the years since I became a parent is, as a parent, you're constantly learning. So for some of you, I actually like running into people who have kind of like seen me grow up kind of like here, so to speak. And they'll look at me and be like, man, I remember when you were single. Man, I remember when you first got married. And I remember when you got kids. And every time I used to run into people who like were like the parents of my life, so to speak, they'd look at me and be like, you're going to learn so much. And I'm like, bah. Oh, I'm fine. I got degrees. Work in kids ministry, I work in student ministry, I'll be fine. But one of the things that I've learned, though, is that being a parent, you're constantly teaching, showing, or modeling something to your kids, the goods and the bads. But one of the things that I kind of ran into is a couple days ago, I'm sitting on our couch. I just got back from work, and we're trying to like navigate the kids to kind of start cleaning up the house. And I look at all of my sons and my daughter, and I'm like, hey, why don't you guys start cleaning? And I looked at one of my specific sons. I won't say which one to protect his reputation. He just got baptized. But I looked at him and I was like, have you cleaned the kitchen yet today? And without missing a beat, he just turns to me and he's like, have you cleaned the kitchen today? Okay, I'm glad I got that reaction because I felt justified. But I was going like straight Hulkamania moment, man. I was like Ultimate Warrior grabbing the ropes. I was like, how dare you say that to me? And instantly, like the moment, like the last syllable of my son left it, my wife is there. She's like, he's joking, he's joking, he's joking. And I'm like, you're protecting him. And I'm like, here comes again, the leg drop is coming. But I'm like, he was just being funny, Ryan. He's been helping. But I'm like, and what in the world? Then she said something that just brought me out of like that clarity, because I'm just like, why won't he just obey? But then she looked at me, and this is what like calmed me down. She's like, where do you think he gets his dry sense of humor from? Mothers are good like that. Stop the raging bull of a father right in their tracks. But like, I stopped there though. And then she looked at me, and again, I was calming down. She's like, where do you think he gets his view of authority from? I'm like, well, now I lost. I just wanted my kitchen clean, man. Like, again, I wanted to do that. But that's one of those things that kind of like has really stuck with me. Again, we're always modeling something. And this is why I love Family Month. Because we get to have real conversations about wives. We get to have real conversations with husbands. And again, today we're going to be having real conversations kind of with children. So when we talk, again, marriage, we talk parenting, this allows us to be able to just kind of like start a good conversation at home. But also one of the things that I love is it allows us to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ as that centerpiece. Because if we just talk like, hey, let's just have a great marriage. Hey, if we just have good children, but we miss the gospel, like we miss something. And for us, like I love the last 2 weeks of this series, because we're talking about the two foundations that are found in children and in parenting. So again, I really don't want to kind of like step on next week's sermon, but to talk children is to talk parents, and to talk parents is to talk kids. But what does Scripture say? That's always the most important thing. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Very simply, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So our focus is kind of like two folds here, because you see children. And you see this idea of, you know, what is a child supposed to do? They're supposed to obey their parents and the Lord. But then there's a call for everybody. It says, honor your mother and your father. So we see something that in Scripture, we really got to make sure that we understand that God has set up kind of some foundations. He set up kind of the blueprints. He set up for how a child ought to be. And this is one of those things. For one, we know that there are real children. And we'll talk about kind of what actually the Bible means when it says children. But again, when it says honor your father and your mother, like all of us have a father and a mother. So there's a call to not only just children, but there's a call to everybody. So to kind of like get a 50,000 foot view of all of this, we got to kind of ask two questions. And one, I believe it's, does God care about how children are treated by their parents? The answer is yes. God's word clearly says that, again, what a parent should do with their kids. We're going to talk about that a lot next week. But also, if we ask that question, the inverse also can be true. Does God care how children treat, honor, and obey their parents? The answer is also yes. So this is why I love this, because, again, of course God does, because family is God's design. He didn't haphazardly put this whole thing together. He didn't just think this was a good idea. He didn't just throw some things against the wall and hope they stuck. No, when God designed the family, he knew exactly what he was doing. So for all of us, whether we be parents, whether it be kids, whether whatever role we might be in, we have to live out our roles in a manner worthy of Christ, no matter what. And I love that Pastor Noble kind of talked about, again, with submission, and Pastor Caleb talked about the roles of a husband having to love. Like, and today we're going to be talking about kids, talking about children. So with us, again, like, where do we go from here? Where we should always go? We should always go to look at Jesus. So how should a kid obey their parents? How should a child, how should a person show the example of obedience and the example of honoring? And we look at Jesus. He is the perfect example of obedience. And what is obedience? Obedience is action. You actually have to do something with it. Going back to, hey, have you taken care? Have you cleaned the kitchen? There needed to be an action to what I was saying. So when we talk obedience, we're talking actions. Then when we talk honor, we're talking the state of mind. This reverence, this when you think of them, you hold them to a high esteem. So look at Jesus. Think the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, will you take this cup from my hand? But if not, your will be done. That was obedience. I'm going to actually do something. And that was honor, because he doesn't turn around and gripe about it. Fine, Dad. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus is praying faithfully to his Father. And you see obedience, and you see honor wrapped up in Gethsemane. Look at the cross. Jesus died for the sins of humanity. He was beat, he was flogged, he was mocked. He never retaliated. When people asked him very pointed questions, he's like, well, that's what you say I am. But he doesn't ever look at his dad and be like, what are you doing to me? He actually cries out one very, very specific thing. He actually says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in his mind, in his heart, in his actions, what do we see with Jesus? He is the perfect example of honor and obedience. So when we take, again, we'll just look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We got to know specifically what are we talking about. So when we say children, what are we talking about? Specifically, this is offspring. Specifically, the Greek word means somebody who is depending on them. Specifically, if you go even deeper, it's somebody who lives in your house. So this is where most of our kids' ministry is kind of over there. It would have been a very fun sermon to be like, hey, let's bring all the River kids out here to sit with their parents for a day. But what do we look at when we read scripture? It says children. I would say this is teenagers. This is young adults, and this is elementary age kids. So somebody who is depending on it. So what does the Bible say? Very simple. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So not only when you disobey your parents, you're actually disobeying Jesus too. We can't separate these two. So what do we see here? For children, there's a call for obedience. This is action. We see that again. We see that there is a call for honoring. We never grow out of this, but there's always a call for making sure that our state of mind and our reverence is there. This is simple. This is easy to understand. I don't think many kids are rushing to Hobby Lobby and writing this verse down on their phone or anything like that, but this verse is very straightforward. There is a who are we talking to and what do we have to do? So who are we talking to? Children, obey your parents, for it's in the Lord. But this is one of those things, though. While it might be simple to understand, and I don't care who you are here, because I think you would understand this, but teenagers, again, the focus is kind of on you. Children, the focus is on you. This is hard to live out. And before you start looking at your kid and be like, yeah, for sure, it's really hard to live in Jesus, but again, you were a teenager at one point, too. We know that this is difficult. Every single person knows obeying your parents is difficult. So why is there that struggle there if there's that command? Because the reality is we don't need to teach our children how to disobey. They're like wired for it. You say, here, I want to do the opposite. Eat your food. They say, no, here's your plate. I want the blue one. You want the cup? I want the green one. Again, they switch it up every single day. But if you think about it, even just that simple, like, hey, I just need you to be quiet, it doesn't work. Why? Because we don't need to teach our children how to disobey, because they have each inherited this inclination because of the sin of Adam. Why is disobedience, why is obedience hard? Because we're all inherited sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden. What do you see? The first command God gave to Adam is go be fruitful and multiply. Again, he turns around and says, be fruitful and multiply. He says, fill earth and subdue it. He says, have dominion over every living thing. Guess what eventually is going to be a living thing? So when God said that, he also knew there was going to be like a big surprise waiting for Adam, because he knew eventually wife, and they knew eventually children. So God didn't say that first command back in Genesis, not understanding where he was going. But what's his first thing? God gave man authority over living things. That's that he gave Adam authority inside of the marriage. He gave Adam authority inside of being a parent. And this is one of those things. At first, it was all good. Everything worked. And you got to fast forward two chapters. You see marriage in Genesis 1 and 2. But then in Genesis chapter 3, you see something happen. You see the fall. Adam was not doing what he needed to do. He was not leading in the way. He was not loving in the way that he should have. And what happened? Because of the one man's sin, sin entered the world. Because of the disobedience of one man, many are made unrighteous. So because of the sin of Adam, sin enters the world. And that's Genesis 3. And then the next chapter, guess what happens in Genesis chapter 4? Boom, you have Cain and Abel. There was never a child born in Eden. You see the fact that it's Adam and Eve, they get kicked out, and instantaneously they have children. And what does every single child have from Adam and Eve on? They are born with sin. This is all good. Again, parent marriage was going good, and then sin entered the world. And then everything past Genesis chapter 3 says we don't need, again, it lives that idea, we don't need to teach our children how to disobey because they have each inherited it. We all have a rebellious nature. Nobody likes being told what to do. Nobody likes being told obey. Nobody likes being told there's rules. So out the get-go, every child born would be full of rebellion and disobedience towards God first. And that's the one thing that we got to understand about the struggle. Because why do we struggle obeying? It's not because we struggle to follow our earthly parents. We don't obey, again, different people. Again, we have bosses. Why do we struggle to obey them and listen to them? Think any type of authority that we have. The reason why we struggle to listen to this authority is because first and foremost, we struggle with our relationship with God. That's where it stems from. Why is there that struggle? Because we struggle to listen to our Heavenly Father. We struggle because we don't like being obedient to our Heavenly Father because there's sin inside of us. So why is obeying our parents a struggle? First and foremost, our alignment with God is off. I think most of you could probably say this. You've ever noticed if your alignment with God is off in your marriage, things aren't going so well? You ever noticed if your alignment with God is off, stuff in your family isn't going so well? You ever noticed if your alignment with God is off, stuff's going with your coworkers, your friends, anything is just off? Because the reason why the children specifically struggling to obey their parents is because our relationship with God is broken. So all the relationships on an earthly manner, especially with our heavenly mothers and our earthly mothers and our earthly fathers, they're strained as well. So you can't just go and look and say, children, obey your parents in the Lord because it is right. While that's powerful, well, that's the word of God, and the word of God does not return void. We're dealing with a deeper thing here. Well, I just said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey. There's going to be action. Hey, there's going to be honor. There's going to be mindset. There's going to be attitude. Sometimes you ever realize that that doesn't necessarily cut it. Doesn't always fix. And the reason is because we have to examine the heart. And for me today, my prayer has been not to just get up here and preach a behavior modification sermon. Every single parent can high-five me at the end of the day. Hey, the rooms are clean, the dishes are done. They're making sure that they're not being loud. We can talk behavior modification. We can talk things on the exterior. Hey, make sure you're not being a jerk to your mom. Make sure you're not being a jerk to your dad. Hey, make sure that you're getting good grades. Make sure you clean up, bathe. Again, fill in the blank, whatever things that you tell your children. But if that's all we get to, all we've done is just done some behavior modification, and we haven't got to the root of the problem. The root of the problem of disobedience is our sinfulness. And the only thing that can fix that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you're thinking, if my kid would just, that action isn't going to fix them. The only action is going to be they know Christ. And if you're a kid here today, if your hope is, again, you're just sitting here, if my parent would just dot, 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 I would be fine. It doesn't get to the heart of it either. So my prayer today is we have to get to the heart of what changes us. And that's the gospel. And that starts with an understanding of who God is. Because if we don't understand who God is, there can be no change. And children, if you're in the room, the first thing you have to understand is that I believe that the root of a parent and child tension is found in the lack of understanding that parents' roles is meant to reflect our Heavenly Father's role. So kids, if you're here to focus on you, that's where you got to start looking. Man, my parent does this, my parent does that. Like again, if we're living in a way where we are saturated in God's word, if we are rooted in the scripture, if Christ is truly our cornerstone in life, and we're living and dwelling and we want to reflect and honor him in all that we do, kids, a parent's ideal is to reflect our Heavenly Father. I wrote in my notes, our Heavenly Father is to be imitated by the earthly fathers and mothers. And I would love to go and talk to the parents about this, but I want to stay closer to the kids this week. Because while that's their role, kids, I believe that, again, an understanding can remove that logjam that's going on in your guys' relationship tension. I truly believe that if, again, we start understanding what the roles that God has that a parent should reflect, we can start seeing a little bit more obedience. We can start seeing a little bit more on it. So the first thing that we got to understand, number one, we have to understand the parents are caregivers. Kids in this room, you need to understand that parents, first and foremost, is the foundational level of a parent. They are caregivers. This is the foundational building block of the gospel of Jesus Christ is love. What do you see? The love of Christ. You see the grace of Christ. You see the mercy of Christ. You see the tenderness of Christ. So the first thing that a parent is a caregiver. Who does that reflect? It reflects our heavenly caregiver. It reflects our heavenly Father. He loves. He loves unceasing. He doesn't stop. He doesn't give up. He's always there. He is kind. He's not arrogant. He's not insist on his own way. He's tender. So as parents, we start here. I think every single parent would be like, yes. Because kids, the thing you need to know is before you were ever corrected, they carried you. Before you were ever disciplined, they fed you. Before they ever punished you, they protected you. And parents are often the first hands that show us what real love looks like. This is the ideal. Not everybody can say this, but this is the ideal. A mother and a father who know Christ. What's their first and foremost role? It's to love you in the same way that God does. I'm not saying that happens perfectly, because we're all fallen. But their first role is love. And I always laugh at this. How do kids respond to love? Teenagers, think about that. How do you respond to love? Like, yeah, don't kiss me, that's disgusting. Yeah, and your parent roll down the window when you're going to school and they yell out like, I love you. What are you, oh my gosh, my friends are here. And like, you scurry off. If your friends are around and they try giving you a big old hug, what are you like, ugh? And you got to look at your friends and be like, I don't actually like that. When in reality, you do. Every teenager, every kid tries to play off like the I don't like love. It's always funny to me to watch like the older elementary kids, they become teenagers, then they become young adults, and then they're like, I miss my mom and dad. There's some wisdom, there's some growth, there's some understanding there. But the first place, again, parents, you know this, you understand this, we start love. To look at a parent and be like, hey, your kid's a little off. Like again, that mama bear comes out, that defensive dad comes out like, it can't be my kid. Because we love our kids so much. We care for our kids so much. But this is one of those things, this is where we start. So children, why should we obey your parents in the Lord? For it's right. Because they're trying to reflect the love of God to you. The first place to see gospel change, the first place to start seeing that formation in your heart where the gospel can kind of start taking root is to realize that they love you and they're trying their best to reflect the love of God to you. And they are mortal, they are human, they will fall vastly short to being able to reflect the perfect love of God. But on this side of eternity, parents, that's what we do. We do our absolute best to love our kids. And we show that. So parents, we reflect our heavenly caregiver. But this role can only be perfected, kind of parents, and understood kids when this idea of in the Lord is understood. Because kids, we obey and we accept that love and we accept that obedience. When? When it's in the Lord. I don't really think you're loving me in the way that you want, but I got to trust the fact that God is telling you to do that. Children, for us, your focus today is your heart in a good place with Jesus to accept the love of somebody on earth? It's really interesting because I've been having this conversation more and more with people where like their alignment with God is off. And then I'll look at them and be like, I love you. Not me. I forgive you. I can't get forgiveness. Like, I'm showing you mercy. I don't need mercy. But if our alignment with God is off, it's hard for us to accept love from God. In the same way, if our alignment with God is off, it's hard for us to accept love on any other plateau. So children, you gotta kind of look at your heart right now. Have you accepted the love of Christ? Because if you haven't fully embraced and taken in and fully accepted the love of Christ, everything your parents do is just going to be annoying. Because they're trying to love you, but everything that you think and everything that you desire and all that feeling that you have, you don't see it as that because your alignment with God is off. But we got to understand that God is that heavenly caregiver. Parents are meant to reflect that. So the second thing is, again, to understand that, again, understanding that parents are caregivers is to know that they will be, and I had to do an alliteration, to understand that a parent or caregivers is to know that they will be a cop. And man, do I love this rule. Probably too much. I love rules. I love curfews. I love no's. I love boundaries. I love you'll thank me when you're older. I love that place. But this is one of those things, though. We don't put rules, curfews, no's, consequences, you'll thank me when you're older, just because we're trying to be jerks. Children, you need to understand this. Your parents do those things. Why? Because first and foremost, what are they? They are a caregiver. So why do they tell you no? Because they love you. Teenagers, especially. Your parents can't just stay only caregivers. Once you started moving, you needed protection from life. No parent's going to watch their kid and be like, oh, there's an outlet right there. Let's see how this ends. You want a spoon? Like, nobody's going to do that. You pick your kid up. You move your kid. You take care of your kid. Like, you want to do everything you can to be able to create a boundary. Why do we not want you going out in the road if you're riding your bike? Why do we not let you drink out of the fire or the garden hose anymore? We learned some things. Again, that's probably not the safest water. Why do we make sure helmets are on kids? Like, if you think about it, why do we put boundaries? Why do we cop? Why do we police? Why do we make sure we protect? Because we love. Teenagers, children, parents aren't meant to be your buds. They're not meant to be your best friend. And parents, your child is not your best friend. They're your child. You can have a great relationship with them, but a parent's job is to first and foremost love them. And then to be able to look at a kid, say, hey, you need some boundaries in your life. God gave us children, and it's almost as if he gave us children on loan because God wants us to bring them to him. Again, it's going back to that in the Lord. And I think one of the biggest breakdowns that I see in the parent-child relationship, especially with teenagers, comes from this love and boundaries dichotomy because it's not love versus boundaries. It's love and boundaries. I love you, and I'm going to tell you no. I love you, and you're not going to go to that party. I love you, and you can't have a car right now. I love you, but you need to get through high school. It's not verse. They're meant to be done together. So, but boundaries are not a prison. They're protection. And if boundaries are not viewed as protection, they're definitely not viewed as loving. To say, no, you can't do that. No. As a parent, you say that. I love you too much to let you do that. I love you too much to let you burn your life down. I love you too much to let you go there. As parents, that's what we do. But God himself gives commands. Why? Because he loved us and was trying to protect us. Thou shalt not steal. Not a good thing to go steal. Thou shalt not covet. Not a good thing with your spirituality. Thou shalt not have any other God other than myself. Not a good thing for your spirituality. God gives us commandments, not because he's just trying to be some like policy driver. It's because he loves us. He wants to protect us. So when a parent says no, sometimes that no is mercy, and you just don't understand, teenagers. I'm going to read that again. Sometimes when your parents say no, sometimes that no is mercy. You just don't understand it yet. As a young parent, I thought I'd just be like, I'll explain the why. Why can't I do this? No, I got to a certain point, I'm just going to say no. I don't have time to explain to you. I got the bandwidth to talk to you about that. Sometimes the answer is just no. Why can't I go ride my bike in the road? No. We live on Holly Road right by, there's a burger joint across the street. My 10-year-old son openly asked, like, can I walk to Unbelievable Burger? No. You're not crossing a 4-lane busy street. The answer is no. Why? Because I don't think you're fast enough. I don't think you're paying attention enough. And I love you too much to see you get hit by a car. Why? But for us, again, kids, we have to see this no as that. So I say this to my kids all the time. I was like, one day you're going to say, I hope, I trust that this boundary is good for me, even if you don't feel it right now. So this idea of love and boundaries is fundamental to seeing the gospel change our hearts. Why? Because it's what God has given us. We start talking about obedience. We start talking about honoring. We realize that we're fallen. We're broken. So parents, when you're sitting here and you're saying, like, that's not good with you, or that's not good for you, you also are saying, I love you. Hey, kid, that's not good for you. You're saying, I'm showing you mercy. A parent asks you and say, or a kid asks you and you say, hey, can I go? Like, you're showing them the love by giving them the boundary. But kids, teenagers, children, when you obey and honor these roles, it's not about just making your parents happy. That's a win. But I think the core fundamental is, why do we still see kids disobey their parents? I think it's found in the fact that we're not adding the gospel enough into the equation. So kids, I know most of you. You love your parents, you care for your parents, you're there. But again, we look at this. Why do we not just aim for making your parents happy? Oh, sweet, I don't got to hear that today. Oh, cool, I can go play on the Switch for a couple hours if I just do this, that, or the other thing. No, we want to see change. But teenagers, it's not, we don't just obey and honor these roles of love and boundaries just to make your parents happy. The reality is you're aligning yourself with God, because this is how God designed the family. So obedience is hard. Having a good attitude is hard. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is capable of transforming our hearts. So when we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's saying it's right because he set that up. He designed it. Made sure this was the system that we would work in with a family. But it says, honor your mother and your father, and this is the commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live a long life, along in the land, excuse me. So when I wrote this sermon, I started working on this sermon about last week. I was polishing it up on Monday. I had no idea that my sons would come up to me, say they wanted to take their next steps in obedience. So while I was going back through my notes on Thursday and Friday like I normally do, I read this verse in a completely different way. Because to look at the idea, this command of honoring your mother and your father, this command of children obey your parents, this command brings such a blessing when done right. And I'm not saying my kids are perfect. And by no means am I saying that I'm a perfect father. But when we on this side of eternity strive after the gospel, we strive to know it, we strive to believe it, we strive to live out the gospel in every way that we possibly can. I never thought in a million years, if you would have asked me 20 years ago, hey, Ryan, your kids are going to get baptized one day. Because 20 years ago, I would have been like, I don't even believe in that Jesus stuff. If you would have asked me when I was first holding my kid, like, hey, you're going to have the privilege of being able to baptize your son when he turns 10 and before he turns 9, I just would have smiled and been like, let's hope. But the reality is the gospel brings something. And it brings hope. And it brings change. And parents, I'm in the fight with you right now. I understand the difficulty of raising a kid in this world. It's difficult. It's hard. I'll go as far to say it's impossible if you don't have Jesus. We're missing out so much if we're just trying to do things on our own power, in our own might, in our own morality. But truly, when I started reading that, children, obey your parents in the Lord, I was more motivated to make sure that I'm reflecting God to them so that they would continue to obey God. But for kids today, if you're here, if you struggle with that obedience, where's your heart with the gospel? If you're here today, again, you have no idea where your relationship with your parents is going to be in 10 years. But is the gospel there? Parents, while we're going to talk about, again, more parenting next week, I want to be able to encourage you, fight the good fight. Don't give up. Putting boundaries is hard. Sometimes you just want to throw an iPad to a kid and be like, all right, now leave me alone for 15 minutes. That's not what we want to do. We love them. We care for them. We show them mercy. We show them love. We show them forgiveness. And we put boundaries. But I will say this, I love being the family pastor to be able to see this. I love when I see God start transforming families. So as long as we keep Christ at the center, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you so much for loving us first. Thank you for guiding us and protecting us. But Lord, thank you so much that you're always the example. Thank you that no matter what we do, Lord, we can always come back. We can read your scriptures. We can look at how you respond. Lord, and we always get direction. Jesus here today. So I'd like to be able to pray for the parents in the room. Sometimes it seems like it's hopeless. Sometimes it seems like it's not going to land. But Lord, I pray that every single parent just stays steadfast to being able to reflect your goodness, your love, your boundary setting. Lord, I pray that their hearts align to you. Lord, I pray that their hearts are so rooted in the gospel, Lord, that Lord, you are controlling them. You are guiding them, Lord. Just give them the ability to be able to lay down all their struggles and their strife, Lord, to you. But as parents, they continue to reflect your goodness. But Lord, for the children in this room, for the teenagers, the young adult, those who are dependent, Lord, I pray that there's a heart change. Lord, I pray if anything came out of my mouth that was good, Lord, it's just that parents are meant to reflect your love, Lord, and I pray for them. The hardness of their heart is broken. The disobedience is not wanting to be a way that they want to live, Lord, but they fully submit to you. They humble themselves in your sight, Lord, so that they can live obediently in their households. Jesus, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you stir in a mighty way to show that the gospel is the truth, is the life. Lord, and I pray that ultimately we all are able to grow closer to you. So Jesus, as we take a time to be able to come back to worship you, Lord, I pray the hearts are changed and lives are reflectant of your love and your grace. Jesus, we love you. And Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful name. Amen.